Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, April 27, 2014. Pastor Paul Tolbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for meditation is taken from that next chapter in the story. It's a lot of verses that are all compiled in that story. It's the start of the New Testament church. So you're going to be seeing, again, a recap of that whole chapter. We are going to be really going fast now. It's going to seem like, whoa, whatever happened? We just had Easter. Now all of a sudden we're past Pentecost or we're into the Apostle Paul. That's how it looks. So before you see this again, I just want to remind you that in God's Word, if you take your Bible at home and you set apart, let's see, this part is the Old Testament right here, and then this part is the New Testament, just that little smidgen there. It's kind of like an index, something tacked onto the back of your Bible, letting you know that all of those promises for thousands of years did come true. That's why it goes so fast as we review it. So now, please give your attention to the next part, New Beginnings.
One day after his resurrection, while Jesus was eating a meal with his disciples, he told them that they would soon be given power to take his message all over the world. They would be given the Holy Spirit of God, he said. After he said this, Jesus flew up into the sky right in front of them, and they did not see him again. So the disciples waited and prayed. 10 days later, they were gathered, and a sound like a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house. They looked around and saw what looked like tongues of fire dancing above each of them. They all began to speak in different languages, causing such a commotion that a crowd gathered to see what was going on. Someone accused them of being drunk, so Peter stood up to say something. He told them that they were not drunk, but that God had given them the power of His Spirit. He recounted the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and told the people to repent of their sins and trust in Jesus. That day, 3,000 people believed what he said and became followers of Jesus. The followers of Jesus ate meals and prayed together almost every day. Amazing things continued to happen. People were being healed. Others were selling their possessions and giving their money to the poor. The number of people who joined them just kept growing and growing. The disciples, now called apostles, began teaching in the Jewish temples. This angered the religious leaders. Several times they beat up the apostles and threw them in jail. One religious leader in particular, named Saul, was determined to destroy this new movement of Jesus' followers. So he went from house to house in the region and arrested those claiming to follow Jesus. Then one day, while Saul was walking down the street, a bright light from the sky flashed. As he fell to the ground, he heard the voice of Jesus speaking to him. Saul, why do you persecute me? Jesus commanded Saul to get up and go to the city of Damascus. Saul got up, but when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see. With some help, Saul traveled to Damascus, where he met a man named Ananias. Ananias placed his hands on Saul, and something sort of like scales fell from his eyes. Suddenly he could see again. Ananias told him that Jesus had orchestrated all of this so Saul could receive the Holy Spirit. This experience completely changed Saul's life. He became a follower of Jesus. Soon, Saul would set out on an extraordinary journey to tell others about Jesus.
I do have a children's devotion, so if there are children out there who want to come for children's devotion, I will explain what these flowers are doing here. In case you're wondering, I got tons of flowers up here. Oh. Morning, good morning, and good morning. Good morning. See, flowers are really good. Good morning, honey. Was it down there? Sure. These are flowers. Now, don't tell anybody. These are for my wife. I'm going to give them as a gift to her after church. Why do you think I would give gifts to my wife? Because, yeah, it's no special day today. You're right. And because I love her. Yeah. Doesn't she know that already, little Noah? Yeah, she knows that already. Why do I give her flowers? I want to show that love. Pretty simple, yeah. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. How does God show his love? Well, he doesn't give us flowers, but he gives us faith. And that's, see that right there? What's that word? Faith. I have a jar that's labeled faith. See that word right there? Faith. And that jar is full of flowers. One of the things that I want to share with you is that you're going to be hearing a Bible verse for the sermon later on. The grown-ups are going to have this Bible verse, and you can ask them later on, what was that Bible verse, Mom? And then they'll say, oh, I know what that Bible verse is, and they'll tell you, okay? Because that Bible verse is what happens when God gives us a flower. God says, you know, I love you, but then God says, you need to know something here. God says, I love you. And he lets you see that he actually loves me. He loves you. So Jesus lived for you, and he died for you, and he came back. And right now he's in heaven and he's preparing a place for you and another place for you and another place and another place and another place and another place. He keeps on, whoops, there you go. He keeps on preparing a place. Here you go. That is. Now, one of the things that happens is that God doesn't give us flowers, but he lets us know something that's even better than flowers. You're going to hear the Bible verse later on. It says, salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And you're saying, doesn't sound like a flower to me. And it doesn't. But you need to know something. Do you know who Jesus is? Yes, you know who Jesus is. Yeah? Do you know that Jesus loves you? Yeah. So guess what? You know this gift that God gave you already. So salvation only comes. You only get to heaven if you know that. So God has already given you this great gift called faith. And he put it right there in his word. So you'll know it all the time. So I'm going to be giving these to my Donna. But these, I'm going to take back there after church. And Nils, I'm going to put you in charge of this, okay? And he's going to put it back on the table after church. And then you can take one and give it to your mom and dad, okay, after church. Okay? And now let's close with a prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for taking away my sins and coming back to life again. You have showed me a beautiful thing, that you love me. And my sins are gone, and I'm going home to heaven. What wonderful things. Help me to show that same love to other people. And my mom and dad, too. Amen. Okay, now you may go back to your seats. A reason for worship. That's what we're looking at today. We have a problem when we get together with worship. Some people like newer songs. Some people like old songs. Some people like only German songs. Some people like a certain style of songs. Some people like another style of songs. Some people like to get dressed up with a tie. Some like to wear white robes. Some of you don't. The reason for our worship, what's the reason? What's the underlying reason? Why do we get together for worship? The first time a crowd gathered at Pentecost, it was to make fun of the disciples. And then God quickly changed all of that. So I thought, you know, now might be a good time to remind ourselves of the reason for worship because of this. Whoops. Sometimes we look at worship as being blah. And why do we look at worship as being blah? Well, because it's, you know, music is not what I want, or it's a blah day out there, Pastor. I've had enough of rain and cold. Or, you know, my friends aren't, things are not really going very well here at school or at work, or I'm just not feeling good, Pastor. I just, oh, blah, blah, just not good. Now, just so you know, no matter what's going on, things haven't changed with the Lord. The same Lord that rose on Easter morning is still alive and around today. How do I know that? Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Jesus also said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But I feel blah. I feel lonely. I feel sad. I feel scared. Nobody gets me. Nobody understands me. Jesus has not changed. Our feelings may have changed. The stuff we're dealing with in life may be affecting us so much that we forget who is right by our side. See, when worship is great, we remember that we're walking through life hand in hand every day. We don't just walk into church with Jesus. We walk out of church with Jesus. He sits right in the car with us as we're going home. I love to share things with Jesus. When I find out about new flowers and things and all the cool things going on in life, I love to share them with him, and he loves to listen to me. All those discoveries that he put into place when he created everything, and I share with him, oh, Lord, how cool is that? You made this whole universe. That is an amazing thing. You made all those creatures, Lord. Wow. And then when Sunday comes around, Jesus said, you know, I've been walking with you all week long, and I've been listening to you and guiding you. Why don't you come to me now? I want to bless you. And so we say, great. And we get to climb up on his lap, and we get to listen to him tell us how much he loves us. The difference between worship being blah and worship being great is your relationship with the Lord throughout the week, isn't it? Now, if you're like me, sometimes that relationship is a little bumpy because we are creatures who are consumed with our emotions, and we're living in a culture that lives on emotions. Hello. So what do? We remind ourselves that God is a God who gave us emotions, but our emotions don't rule us. We rule them. And we remind ourselves that on that very first Easter, there was no joy. The angels were happy. I take that back. The angels were happy because they knew. But everybody else was all swimming around in their sadness. All their hopes were dashed. All their dreams were gone. They couldn't even talk to Jesus anymore to find out what the next step is supposed to be in life. He just said, I'm going to go to my Father and prepare a place for you. What does that mean? And they're all left confused. It was a sad, confusing, dark time for the disciples. And even when Jesus came, we're told that they didn't believe what they were seeing. So once he sat down and he said, you got some fish and chips? And he had a fish meal with him. And while he's eating, he says, go ahead, touch me and see. And he's eating in front of them. They're coming up and touching him. And he says, why do these doubts rise in your minds? I was dead, but I'm alive now. All the promises of God that I had to keep were kept for you, including this promise to rise to life again. That's the good news, and that's why worship is great. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Pretty clear cut. Pretty wonderful good news. Because guess what? God wants you to know that. So he gathered you here this morning. If you're watching online, he gathered you there to watch online. Why did God do that? Of all the different places you could be today, of all the things that could have happened on your way here, how come God made sure that you were here? He wants you to hear this. He wants you to know that he has given you a gift that one-third of the world does not even know yet. That salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. And you know that. There is no salvation in Buddha or Allah or whatever God you figure out might be coming down the pike. It's only Jesus, and it's all about Jesus. And yes, it goes against everything that our culture is screaming at us. It went against everything the culture screamed at the apostles too. When they said this very simple sentence, people tried to kill him. Tried to put him in jail. But God is open to everyone because he died for everyone. He came back to life for everyone. And he says, believe in me because I am the only way to get into my heaven. I have the keys. My family gets in with me. So trust me in this. And that's what the disciples did. Salvation is found in no one else. It's found in no one else. It is not found in your mom or dad. It doesn't matter if you've been a lifelong Christian or not. It doesn't matter if there have been Christians in your family going back several generations, Pastor. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, oh, I've only been a Christian for 2 weeks. I'm going to be dying. How am I going to make to heaven? It doesn't matter. It matters that you believe that Jesus Christ lived and died for you, took away your sins, guaranteed your life with his life. Now, you're going to run into some people that it's really hard to believe that. And you have to give them time. The Lord says you can't force this down anyone's throat. I got to share something with you. When my daughter Sarah got married, remember that was the day when I lost my voice for several months after that? I remember that day. Anyway, I had a conversation, really cool conversation with my sister-in-law, my oldest brother Steve. He and his wife came, and Sherry was there, and afterwards we were just talking, and she noticed that my throat was kind of getting scratchy already. She says, oh, what's wrong with your throat? I said, I don't know, but something's wrong with it. And then we started talking about different things that were going on in life and had memories and things like that. And I said, I remember Steve was really a really good mile runner, but not a long distance runner like my brother Lauren. And Sherry looked at me and she says, what are you talking about? I said, well, Steve is really good, you know, short, but he's not really good long. And Sherry said, your brother Steve is a really good long distance runner to this day. I said, no, that can't be. Because in my head, from about this big, I always thought he was a fast, fast, short-term runner. And how Sherry dealt with me was so wonderful. You need to understand how to do this. She said to me with a big smile on her face, well, you know, I've only been married to him for over 20 years. I think I do know if he's a long-distance or short-distance runner. She didn't call me stupid. She didn't call me pig-headed. She just said, you know what? I know him, and I don't think you know him as good as I do. Ding! Lights go on. You're absolutely right. That's exactly how you talk with people who don't believe that Jesus is the only way. You don't argue with them. You don't call them dumb. You don't call them pig-headed. You just say, you know what? I know Jesus. And he's not dead because he was with me in church this last Sunday, sitting right by me. And this week I was having a hard time understanding something and I was able to talk with him. And I went to his word and I found what he said to me. I'm telling you right now, Jesus is alive. And he says, not me, he says he's the only way to heaven and he wants you to know that. So in Jesus' name, my dear friends, that's really good news. Don't keep that to yourself. Find some way to share the good news with somebody else, that there is salvation in no one else other than in Jesus Christ, who's let us know. In his name, so let us live. Amen.